Let's chat to Lupa Mayakisa. Lupa, very good morning. How are you?
Very well. How are yourself?
Yes, excellent. Thank you. So, well, we've been trying to wrap our heads around this Caster Semenya story. We spoke a little bit earlier to Raymond Hack. He's a sports commentator. He believes it's absolutely discriminatory against Custer. He didn't talk about whether it's a racist type of issue or not, but he said very clearly the fact that the races that she participates in, the ones that they've made the ruling, certainly indicates that this is a very, very clearly focused on her and is problematic. I definitely, although I can't, I don't have any proof for it, get the sense that this is targeted and that there might well be an element of racism. What do you think?
It's, you know, for me, Howard, it's become a very emotional minefield, this issue. As I was driving, I was listening to SAFM, and every single caller that called raised the race issue. And that, for me, is a worrying issue, is that I think we're making a big issue of the race part of it. I mean, if you think of it last year, because the IAAF initially introduced these rules to deal with hyperhidrogenism, and they dealt with, there was a lady who challenged it. I think she's a 100-meter sprinter from India, and she challenged it unsuccessfully. And somehow there wasn't the same hype around her and around her issue, and she challenged it quite successfully. So South Africa is quite seized by this issue. For me, I think that there's two issues. If you look at the ruling, I mean, I've just had glances of the summary of it. The panel does admit that it is discriminatory in some ways. But on the other hand, you've also got to admit and say they have a real issue to deal with, whether we like it or not. So nobody's blaming Caster and saying that she's created the situation. It's something that's occurred, let's say, by birth, naturally, out of her control. But if you look at the guidelines, in terms of nanomoles, in terms of what typically a woman athlete would have, you know, the reports say that the range for testosterone for women usually is below 2. And then for people with elevated testosterone, it's between 7.7 to 29, which is well into the male category territory. So you do have a challenge that whatever has caused the situation, it is placing her testosterone levels well above where female athletes should be, into the territory, fairly squarely into the territory of men. Now, can she then compete as a woman against other women when she's got those elevated levels? That's the challenge. And if you were to ask me, I would say that is a problem, because it would be unfair on the other women whose testosterone level is normal. And the problem is this: how do you create rules? Do you create rules for the exception or for everything or for what you believe is the norm? You know, I've got, for instance, fiber at home, and I bought a package that was for domestic use. Now, little did I know that my kids are going to use a lot of it, and my son playing Fortnite. And suddenly I got a letter from my provider that said, hey, your usage is well above domestic. You are now into business usage. We need to review your contract. So it's pretty much that kind of issue of saying, do you create rules for every situation, or do you take what you believe the norm is? And I think the norm for testosterone for women is at a particular level, and Caster is above that. But I do think that South Africa is making quite a meal of it. I mean, I listened to some of the sports scientists going on about it, and they were saying that there's an open door. It's a living document, this ruling, which means the IAAF can add other events if it feels, let's say, 1,500, 3,000 meters and so forth, and 5,000. I don't think so. When I read it, I saw a group of people who said, we understand what you need to regulate. This is not a perfect solution, but go and use it. We don't know what the effects will be. Therefore, you may need to tweak this, because we're talking of theory. When athletes are asked to take those, whatever medication to lower it, it may have other unintended consequences. So the IAAF, the panelists said, we're not quite sure how it's going to pan out. So it's made a living document, because it's saying that the practical application may be different to what you intend, and you may need to revisit. But when I listen to South African experts, all of them are saying, but this is clearly designed to stack in. If let's say Caster starts winning in longer events, then they can add those there. So I don't know. I think we are seeing what we want to see in it as South Africans. And hence I was saying we didn't support the Indian athlete when she challenged this. And there was no general outcry. And hence I keep asking, I mean, this is tongue in cheek. Had a Zola Budd, for instance, had this problem, would we have had the sports minister jumping up and down and every single person jumping up and down? I don't think so.
Very, very interesting take. I guess you're right. I mean, to me, the way of looking at it is the fact that she has not done anything to increase her testosterone levels. So somebody, it's natural. It's like, for her, it's like somebody with longer legs. It is somebody who's thinner versus fatter. I am deeply genetically prejudiced because I've got two short parents. I'm never going to be an athlete. It doesn't make it unfair that I can't compete with a Kenyan runner because they come from that person that I would compete with comes from a long line of runners or athletes or people that have longer legs. I find it problematic, and I think it's almost symptomatic of the world that we're living in, that everybody's got to be made to be the same, and then we'll decide how to compete. If she was taking a drug or doing something that created a higher testosterone, that's a different argument. But the fact that this occurs naturally within her body is to me, I find deeply problematic. You're right. I don't know if it's the same. It's not the same argument as a racist argument. But I do keep wondering if it was a blonde woman from Connecticut, if she would have faced the same type of the same type of issue. I don't know the answer.
But remember, I said to you, last year we had an Indian sprinter who faced the same issue.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is that's the one issue. And then also I've heard people talk of the panel. I mean, the honorary president is Frankie Fredericks, who was, a sprinter from Namibia. The panel, it's very difficult because you'd need to almost, stack the whole panel to be people who are necessarily prejudiced against, let's say, a South African for whatever reason and stack it. But you see, the challenge is this, say for instance, you might say you're vertically challenged or whatever, but that doesn't necessarily endow you with a particular skill. And the challenge we have here, and I've heard people talk of Kenyan long distance runners or talk of, let's say, Michael Phelps. Now, those, yes, they're all naturally occurring, but in large numbers. Whereas what you deal with here in Custer and some ladies is an exceptionally rare issue in genetics. And I think that's the problem. And the challenge is it is conferring a huge advantage. It's not just minor, let's say just a slight variation. It is a huge advantage. And I think what sports is struggling to deal with is you've got athletes who are saying, I can't compete as a woman against Custer because I will never win. And, which is a fair conclusion. And then, so what do you do as a sports body? Because let's say, for instance, you have nobody like Caster for the next 10 years. You then have records that will stay in the record books that nobody can beat. So I understand that they need to regulate the playing field. And I'm not placing blame on Caster. I know that this is not what she – it's not intentional. This is how she's born. So she has no control over it. But having said that, the sports bodies obviously have – some idea in mind in terms of this is a range of testosterone, because hence they're testing people. And there's no perfect solution. The Indian sprinter who managed to beat this, she's saying, test people for drugs, for doping, and leave it at that. But then the challenge will be if you were to test Caster, let's say, for testosterone to test very high. So she's very selective in saying, leave the genetics, it's not our fault. And I understand. So I think if you were to ask me, I don't fault her, but she's a victim of nature in the way that this is not her doing. But then I also believe that the sports bodies have to find some way to regulate athletics and say, this is what's expected. It's difficult. It's emotional. But I think as South Africans, we haven't managed to keep our emotions out of it. If you listen to people, you can't even debate this issue. It literally, people get so angry if you so much as have a dissenting view. I mean, I listened to a radio station where every single caller had the same view, and one guy called in and people were pretty horrible to him for even dissenting with the general view. So I think, yes, she's been dealt, it is discriminatory, but I think IAAF has that mandate to try and regulate things. And we as South Africans, I think, need to look at this thing in the cold light of day and not throw racial prejudice first and foremost, because that's what I'm hearing even from the minister. Everybody's throwing racial prejudice.
Even from me, I have to say.
The whole studio.
I feel like I've been schooled by Luba this morning.
I was refusing to be schooled by him. I told him I will not remove my emotions from it.
Right, there we go. There we go. I'm feeling all guilty because I do like to look at things a little bit. Sometimes I think emotion is good. I don't think there's anything wrong with looking at things emotionally, but in a case like this, and I keep saying that you can't say it feels discriminatory. It either is or it isn't, and you've got to find the way to say it. And it's not good enough to say it feels prejudice. Either it,
I think Howard, the problem is the solution is imperfect because nobody knows. Everybody's talking theoretically. So people are saying, you know what? If we get to take some medication, it will lower her testosterone. Yes, it will. Will that have any adverse effect on her as a person? Nobody knows. Will that affect the way she runs and bring it to that level? You know, it's all speculative. And I think there lies the challenge, is that we're not dealing with something surgical, clean cut, where we're saying, you know what? If she takes these two tablets, she'll drop down to, let's say, under five, which is what they want, and she can compete, and there'll be no adverse effects. So it's almost a moving target, and then emotions are getting quite high, and there lies the challenge. And I think it's probably going to set precedent going forward in how you deal with it, because it may work out very well, or it may be a complete disaster. But I do feel that we'll be talking about this probably in about a year's time, if she does take the medication, and then we'll see what it does, because right now we're all speculating and none of us know what will happen. But I think put yourself in the shoes of a female athlete. You like running, Howard, and your speciality is 800 or 500 or 1,000.
I don't think you can use the word athlete when it comes to my running, but never mind. Yes.
But put yourself in the shoes of a rival athlete. You are never going to win against Caster. As long as she's competing, you're just not going to win. It's that simple.
Luba Makisa, this is where we have to leave it. Fascinating. You always bring a completely different and refreshing perspective.
But Linda's not happy with
No, she's not. You must see the body language. Like, she's quite tense in studio. Linda, anything you want to say to Luba before?
No, listen, the
before
thing
we lose
Luba
him forever.
I hear him and he makes never. Really valid, but me. I feel like I want to stick to my, you know.
Yes, you must see, she's actually clutching her throat as she says it.
Yeah, because I'm just like,
very
yes, Luba, I hear you, you make sense, but no.
Time is 8:56, that's Luba Mayakiso.